على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience who are listening to COI Radio. And welcome to our special program. This program is looking at the analysis of the aftermath of the furore that's been caused by the anti-Islam film that came out of the United States. Once again, I'm being joined by Dr. Tarabi, who is a PhD from the London School of Economics, an Islamic scholar as well as an academic. And it's great to have you again, Dr. Tarabi, on the line.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Tarabi, last time when we spoke, you gave us a very interesting insight into the reasons why this filth came out of the United States, and you mentioned the fact that it was very much to cause internal strife in Egypt, which was, really common sense because, in the events of the loss of Mubarak, is not exactly similar to the fall of the Shah in Iran, but of course, they lost an ally in a very important region. And of course, it throws Camp David into the air. And what I'd like to take on is that, recently Sayyid Nasrallah has been mentioning the fact that we must have an international law which condemns this kind of filth. And no one's religion should be insulted. I've just heard on the news that even in Germany, they're beginning to, sing from this kind of hymn sheet that there should be something to prevent the insult to religions. But, Sayyid Nasrallah had something very nice that he was saying, that, that we've got to have the Christian brethren on board because they can help us more in influencing institutions in the West to come up with this law. But at the same time, I need to ask you the question, if Salman Rushdie had been killed when Imam Khomeini had ordered, had issued his fatwa, and he had been killed at that particular moment in time, we wouldn't have these awful events now, would we?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think just the fact that there was a fatwa and he basically, his life turned to hell, I think that, for all intents and purposes, was, good enough. And we got the result we wanted in the sense that our Imam, in his foresight and in the vast way that he thought about these events,
yes,
was able to really, draw the line. And it was the first time this had happened in history, and since colonialism and imperialism started, where you really had a striking back from the Muslims to, the decades and centuries of insults that they'd been throwing at the Prophet. And,
yes,
you just have to look at the Orientalist literature, which is full of this stuff, under the guise of academia. And nevertheless, for me, to answer your question very directly, no, I don't think, if he would have been killed, it would have prevented this. I think the whole point is that it was the idea of having the Muslims really, because of Imam and the way he was, teaching us what it means to defend Islam and to be the real Muslims that
right,
the Quran wants us to be.
Right.
The other thing that I wanted to add to our previous discussion was that, of course, I didn't explain it fully till the end, what I meant with that they wanted internal conflict in Egypt.
Oh, yes, that's interesting.
The conclusion of that causing the internal conflict in Egypt would have been the military taking over again.
Right.
With the excuse of, there's chaos, there's civil war, So
oh yes, martial law being introduced into
exactly.
Egypt.
So it was for the excuse of having the army take over again.
Right, right.
So this was the game plan, and I'm sure they have their own generals and colonels, in Egypt waiting in the wings for such an event to happen.
Sure.
But of course it didn't happen, and this is to the credit of the Muslims and the Copts and the Christian Copts in Egypt, that they did not let this get out of hand. And
sure,
remember, in Egypt, the dominating or the dominant strand of Islam or the Islamic parties is the Muslim Brotherhood, which, is not Takfiri, Salafi, extremist.
Right, right.
So this was a miscalculation on their part, And, yes, it didn't work.
Sure. I mean, Dr. Tarabi, we always come back to this point, you know, and we mentioned it in other programs as well, that, you know, this global arrogance, you know, especially the United States, keeps making mistakes because they don't understand what's going on the ground. And on the other hand, you know, as you say, they've infiltrated, you know, institutions like the military, as they do in, for example, in Pakistan, but, you know, or in Turkey. But at the end of the day, they keep missing the point. They keep losing the plot, isn't it?
Well, again, remember, as we spoke about it, I mean, basically, when it comes to the region, to the Middle East, to the Muslim world, the Americans have outsourced their policy, their strategy, their knowledge of it to the Zionists and to the Ahl-e Saud and those types.
Yes, yes.
Those kind of people who have
not the best experts in the world, are they?
Right, because obviously it's biased. You know, it's a biased view. You're not going to get a look. If I'm a policymaker in the U.S., my goal is to get an objective view of whatever country it is that I'm dealing with, and then based on that, make policy.
Right.
If from the beginning my data or my information or analysis is skewed, I'm never going to come up with a proper policy. Because we've had tainted information that becomes the basis for everything.
Sure. So in other words, what we're really seeing is that the Americans are getting the wrong intelligence to whoever they've outsourced this this particular policy to or mandate to, and at the end of the day, they're losing their grip on the region.
Right, and this is not to their benefit. I mean, again, there are many people in the U.S. and in the U.S. government and in the U.S. Policymakers who, you know, understand this problem. They understand the problem of not having proper information, and it's not simply intelligence, it's everything. It's your whole view of that region. You know, there was a time when you actually had different views. You had experts with different political and academic perspectives. And, you know, the sum of all those put together was able to give you a somewhat, you know, realistic picture of what was out there.
Well,
and then based on that realistic picture, you know, the policymakers could make policies.
Sure.
This is no longer the case. You have the information, the analysis, the intelligence, whatever it is that the American policymakers get, being completely skewed and politicized before they do that because of their reliance on the Israelis, because their reliance on these monarchical geriatric old men in the Persian Gulf.
Yeah, you can see
of
that.
Of course, are going to be pushing their agenda onto the Americans, because it's the Americans that keep these guys in power. It's the Americans that supply Israel with all the, you know, support. So they're going to tell them whatever they need to tell them in order to maintain that relationship, and they're not going to tell them things that might be in the U.S. interest but might not be in the Israeli or in the Saudi interest, for example. And the point I'm making here is that, you know, it could be that it's in the interest of the U.S. to, you know, engage Egypt as a country in which the vast majority of the people are Islamically oriented in terms of politically Islamist. So what's wrong with that? Just try to engage Egypt in the way it is.
Sure.
Why try to force your, the thing that the Israelis would like to have, which is a, you know, Western-oriented, Israeli-oriented general who's going to maintain, you know, that stranglehold on Egypt. Why would you want to do that? It's not in America's interest. It might be in Israel's interest, but it's not in America's interest.
Sure. I mean,
so this is the root of the problem.
Yeah. I mean, this is very interesting what you're saying, Dr. Tarabi, and I agree with you and I concur with you that, you know, there is not only a conflict of interest, but there's a disaster in the kind of policy perception of the entire region. I mean, at the end of the day, America is not looking at this situation realistically. This kind of thing that, you know, of course, this anti-Islam film, which is what we're really focusing on. And as you quite rightly say that, I suppose, you know, even if we had done what we had done to Salman Rushdie, it probably wouldn't have allayed this kind of thing anyway. I think this kind of filth would have come out anyway, no matter what. It probably be more intensified before that. Okay, let's have another go at them again. But at the end of the day, what are we really seeing here, that in terms of Muslim reaction, I mean, this is what I keep coming back to, that, you know, the Muslim governments particularly, and there's been a lot of criticism that we are not speaking with one voice. And the other thing is that we are not breaking up the diplomatic and sending the ambassadors home, closing the embassies, tearing up the treaties, tearing up Camp David, you know, really, you know, hurting them where it hurts, you know, so that, you know, they get the message that if you're going to play on the Zionist agenda, Well, you know, you're going to pay a heavy price for that.
Well, brother, I mean, the point is that we really, this is actually a good thing. This is a blessing in disguise in the sense
sure.
that
hmm.
it clearly showed that the only truly independent Islamic nation and government is the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Yes,
it showed
that's
that
true.
The only truly independent Islamic leader, I'm talking about head of state,
sure.
is the supreme leader of the Islamic Revolution in Iran.
Sure.
And it clearly showed who the dependent people are. And, you know, where are the Al-Asad, the guardians
exactly.
of the two holy
exactly
shrines?
Exactly,
you know?
My question.
Where are all these guys?
Yeah, where
who,
is their
know,
reaction?
Put on the facade of Islam, and when the most holy of holy things is you know, trampled on, they're silent. They're completely, you know, they've shut up. Why? Because their prophet is not the prophet. Their prophet is somebody else.
That's and, very good. I like, their prophet is counted in dollars, is it not?
It's prophet with an F, you know, in the middle, you know.
Right,
so
okay.
the point is that spelled with an F, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is the reality of it, you know.
Sure.
You have, you know, personalities and political personalities like Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah being able to say what he says.
Sure.
Because he is truly independent.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And this is a good thing because it's clearly showing to everyone, and particularly to all the Muslims, that, you know, it's easy to put on the show of being a Muslim, but when you know, when things like this happen, this is when truth and falsehood is separated. This is when haq and batil is separated.
Exactly. I mean, I think, of course, the Muslim world has two problems here. You know, not only the external enemy, but the internal enemy, which are known as the munafiqun. I mean, we are really in trouble with these hypocrites, aren't we? Because
brother, exactly. Hmm. I mean, look, it's the most basic thing, which is to defend your prophet. I mean, how more does it get?
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
And remember, let me just clarify for the listeners.
Sure.
You know, what is our logical argument about defending the prophet? Our logical argument is this. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the perfect and complete manifestation of all divine attributes. Okay?
Absolutely. He's an example for the whole world.
This is why the prophet is so, you know, holy.
Yes.
Because he is the perfect manifestation of God on
Absolutely.
Earth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay? This is who we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, whatever they think we are talking about.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, is the absolute manifestation of God throughout time and space. Okay? And this is the reality of it. This is why we're upset. Because
sure.
it's not simply an insult against the historical person. You know, I was listening to one of the brothers who was speaking on TV in one of the channels. He said
sure.
a very good thing. He said the whole balance of the universe is at stake here. You know, you're insulting the most sacred creation. You know,
oh my God, yes.
So this is the deal, and
sure.
you know, they don't want to hear this stuff. They've been trying to, you know, turn away humanity from all this talk for the last 200, 300 years. But,
well,
you know, we're not going to let him.
Yeah, Dr. Darby, just in the last few seconds before we wrap up this program, you know, I'd like to come back on that point because, of course, you talked about the sacredness of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. But, you know, I mean, producing this kind of filth is not an answer to anything, isn't it? It just shows their desperation, as the Supreme Leader
you know,
mentions.
It's the old tactic of divide and conquer. And, you know, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it would have worked.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work anymore. You know, people have awakened. You know, people
sure.
are awakened.
Yeah.
It's not the way it used to be.
No.
And look, it's the people that came into the streets. It's not like there wasn't some sort of a mobilized, you know, from top down. It was from bottom up.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
I mean,
and there's a big difference.
Sure.
You know?
I'll go further into this kind of analysis with you in the next program. And we'll look at, you know, some of the, you know, reaction from both America and both what Sayyid Nasrallah said, because there's some very interesting points he's raised. But I'll certainly do that with you in the next program. But thanks very much for your time
You're
today,
welcome.
Dr.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Always.
Please tune into our next program of The Deception, when we will continue our analysis on recent events. It leaves me to say, peace be upon you. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.